Grace, mercy, and peace be with you, from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. Today's text comes from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, beginning with verse 8 as follows. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we owe everything, dear fellow redeemed. When was the last time someone asked you to do the impossible? I'm sure it's happened to you before. I recall a few years ago when I was given an invitation to come take part in the installation of a fellow pastor that was taking place in a city that was some distance from here. The problem was that it was being held at 4 o'clock p.m., on a Sunday afternoon in a city that was 250 miles away. Well, it didn't take me long sitting down with a map and a calculator to figure out that there was no way I could possibly make it short of chartering a private jet. There just wasn't enough time to drive that distance. They didn't realize it, of course, but what they had asked me to do was simply impossible. About 2 minutes after this sermon is over, you're going to be asked to do the impossible. You'll be asked to exercise your Christian giving when our regular Sunday offering is taken up. "Oh, that's not impossible," you say to yourself. "That's easy. All I have to do is flip in a couple of dollars to the collection plate like I do every week." But I submit to you this morning that if it is easy, then it is not Christian giving. In our text for today, in fact, a starving widow woman will demonstrate to us that real giving is the opposite of easy. Our theme this morning, Christian giving is impossible. It presents an impossible challenge that can only be met by faith, and it comes with an impossible promise that can only be believed by faith. The date was the middle of the 9th century B.C., The place was the village of Zarephath in the extreme northern part of Palestine on the Mediterranean Sea. The whole region at that time was in the grip of a very severe 3-year drought. Food had run out. Many people were starving to death. The prophet Elijah was without food too. Now, certainly God could have used miraculous means to feed his prophet. He had done so before. He had sent food to Elijah in the mouth of a raven. He could certainly send an angel from heaven to bring food to his servant Elijah. But in this case, he wished to do it in a way that would benefit another one of his precious believers, a humble widow woman who happened to live in Zarephath. She wasn't even an Israelite. Her village lay between Tyre and Sidon in the remote northwest part of Palestine, which we would now call Syria. And God had chosen this poor Gentile woman for a very special purpose. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. The widow woman living in that town was about to learn an important lesson, a lesson about Christian giving. Christian giving isn't easy. In fact, if it weren't for faith, it would be downright impossible. Consider the challenge that God presented to this poor widow woman. The first thing Elijah asked for was a cup of water. That part, at least, seemed to be pretty easy. The woman turned around immediately and went to get it. But then, almost as an afterthought, Elijah added, Please also bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. What an interesting reply. No hysterics, no drama, no scornful derision at this obviously impossible request by Elijah. She simply states the facts. The Lord had evidently determined that she and her son would die in this famine, and on her part, she is ready to go. Elijah takes the challenge a step further, even. Do not fear, he said. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. Feed the Lord's prophet first before you feed yourself. Provide for the work of the Lord first, and then afterward, with what's left, provide for yourself and your family. It was an impossible challenge. But with the same calm faith, the woman proceeded to carry out the prophet's instructions. She did exactly as Elijah told her. And how hard that must have been. Actually, it was more than just hard. The kind of giving that our Lord requires presents an impossible challenge, a challenge that can only be met by faith. I think most of us are willing to give something to God. And for most of us, I'm afraid, the easier that sacrifice is, the better. A few dollars in the collection plate, few minutes of your time, a small portion of your talents. Perhaps that's all you're willing to give. But my Christian friends, if so, then that's not what God wants from you. God wants truly sacrificial giving. Once when he was asked how much a person should give to church, C.S. Lewis replied, I don't think we can set a specific amount. The only safe answer is more than you can spare. Truly sacrificial giving means giving more than you can spare. It really means two things, giving to God first and also giving to God in proportion as he has blessed you. The Bible provides lots of direction about how God wants us to give. One thing it says is that we are to set aside our offering to the Lord first before we give for anything else. The Apostle Paul tells us, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. Now, that can be pretty difficult to do, to write your offering check first, before you pay your bills, before you gas up the car, before you do anything else. In Proverbs, we read, Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Has the Lord been getting the first fruits of your increase, or has he kind of been getting the leftovers? The Bible also challenges us to give in fair proportion to the wealth that the Lord has given to us. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon was once invited by a wealthy friend of his to come down to the country church to which he belonged and preach at a special service. A special offering was being taken up to help retire a large debt that the congregation had incurred. Well, his wealthy friend told him, while you're here, you're free to stay wherever you like. You can stay in my city house or in my country house, or you can stay in my seaside home. To his surprise, Spurgeon flatly refused the invitation. Sell one of your houses, Spurgeon said, and pay the debt yourself. Well, all of this sounds impossible. In fact, there's only one force capable of meeting such an impossible challenge as Christian giving, and that's God-given faith. People with spirit-work faith in their hearts are people who are well acquainted with sacrificial giving. How come? Because they learned it from the very best example there could be, God himself. What did God give? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What would you say if you were called upon to give up not money, not time, but your own child for the Lord? Remember, that was once asked of the patriarch Abraham. In the end, though, the Lord, after testing Abraham's faith, did not require him to go through with that sacrifice. Our Heavenly Father, on the other hand, he did go through with it, didn't he? God the Father was called upon to give up his only Son as the ransom price for the sins of the world, your sins and mine. It was the only way you and I could be redeemed from the hell that our sins deserved. And our Heavenly Father went through with it. He willingly made that sacrifice. On a dark, skull-shaped hill, on the darkest of all days, Good Friday, God gave his Son. And with that awesome, self-sacrificial gift, you and I have been ransomed from hell once and for all. Faith in what God gave, faith in Christ's sacrifice, that's what makes sacrificial Christian giving even possible on our part. Faith in our Savior is what makes us want to meet the challenge of Christian giving. Scripture records the example of that other widow, the one we heard about in our New Testament lesson this morning, the widow who in faith put her last two pennies into the collection of the church. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty has put in all the livelihood that she had." What about the disciples? They left everything, we're told, and followed Jesus. What about the sinful woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee, you remember, who anointed Jesus' feet with a very costly perfume? What about the New Testament Christians in Jerusalem? After Pentecost, many of them sold their real estate and gave the entire sum of money to the apostles for the work of the Lord. These people all did it. They all met the challenge of Christian giving, not because they were some kind of super believers, but simply because they realized what the Lord had done for them in Christ, and they couldn't help reacting in faith to that salvation that the Lord earned. As the Apostle Paul puts it, the love of Christ constrains us. We don't have any choice but to bring forth the fruits of the faith that the Holy Ghost has worked in our hearts. But back to our story. You know, in real life, God never fails to send a challenge to us without also sending a promise to go along with the challenge. Along with the challenge that that poor widow faced came a promise. A promise that at first glance might have seemed absolutely impossible to believe. Elijah told her, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Some restaurants advertise a bottomless cup of coffee, but who ever heard of a bottomless bin of flour? The widow was being asked to believe a promise that was not only unreasonable, but just didn't make any sense at all. The basic math didn't add up. It looked like she was dividing her resources, and yet God promised to multiply her resources. It looked like she was subtracting from the tiny store of food that she had, but God promised to add everything that she needed. Well, when the Lord starts telling you things like that, you can just take that little calculator in your head and throw it right out the window, because God's grace and his mercy and his generosity toward us know no limits. Your human reason won't help you in this case, for this is the kind of promise that can only be believed by faith. And the widow did believe it. Our text says, she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. By the way, many days in that passage, that's kind of a mistranslation. It was a lot longer than that. In fact, we know that the bin of flour and the jar of oil wasn't used up for over a year. It fed them for many months. It never ran out. They kept on using it and using it and using it. And in his grace, the Lord kept on providing them more every day according to what they needed. They prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." And God answered their prayer. That promise God made held good exactly as he had spoken. The kind of giving that our Lord requires from us also comes with an impossible promise, a promise that can only be believed by faith. The Lord promises he'll provide everything we need, come what may. In other words, go out on a limb for the Lord. Pull out your billfold when the collection plate comes by and really make a dent in that thing. You have God's promise on it that you're not going to lose. In the Old Testament, you may know God directed his people to tithe, to give exactly 10% of their income for the work of the Lord. Well, we New Testament Christians are not bound by that commandment any longer, but I've often thought that it's a pretty good rule of thumb, 10%. Why not shoot for that? You think the Lord's going to let you go broke? You know that's never going to happen. In the Old Testament book of Malachi, our gracious God tells us to expect the exact opposite. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Luther once made a comment about the best use of time. He said, I had so many things to do today that if I hadn't spent an extra hour in prayer, I would never have got it all done. I'm sure a person could say the same thing about Christian giving. I had so many bills last month that if I hadn't boosted my Sunday offerings, I never would have got them all paid. Let's remember, with faith, we can meet the impossible challenge presented by Christian giving. And with faith, we can believe the impossible promise that comes with Christian giving. With faith, we know that the question posed by the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans, after all, needs no answer. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Please rise.